Hey gang, it is episode 41, drop set time. Thanks for joining. I appreciate it. If you're on Instagram Live, which I just started it, so nobody is just yet, but hey, if you're there, thanks. If you're listening to the recorded version of this in the multitude of locations where you could find it, welcome. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. So lots to go over this week. A lot of new stuff happening, a couple of good topics to discuss, and one of them is going to be kind of a prolonged rant, so you have been warned. It will be coming. It's been a wild week. So we're in February now. It's cold as hell. The flu is going around. Everybody is sick, it seems like. I've got clients who are dealing with one version of the plague after another. It's kind of crazy. It's a little bit disconcerting. My wife's been off school much of the week. They've actually closed the school down, and the county here has actually closed schools for much of the week due to illness. So that's kind of where we're at here. It feels a little pre-apocalyptic, maybe. Nonetheless, that's where we're at. So a couple of things that I want to go over today. I just started experimenting myself with occlusion training, or you may know it as blood flow restriction training. So I wanted to talk about that briefly. I have like one workout under my belt, so it's not going to be a super in-depth discussion, but I want to go over the basics of it, my experience with it so far. And then also I want to talk about judging creep, which is not, you know, the guy with the pedophile mustache who's sitting at the judging table, but how judging standards creep over time and the kind of problem that creates for us, and give some examples of why it's a problem and how we can fix it. So that's kind of what we're looking at today. Getting the housekeeping stuff out of the way first. So I always like to talk a little bit about myself as well, because hey, it's my podcast, and if you don't like it, well, I hope you do. My week has been dominated by, as usual, work. Typically, this is the day, you know, I record podcasts on Thursday. This is the day where things start to slow down a little bit, so I can work in a little bit more stuff, less stuff that I have to do and stuff that I like to do, such as this recording. And also, what I really need to do this week is step up my game when it comes to music practice. So I've been talking about the long 2-day gig that our band has lined up at the end of the month, and we've got to cover 6 hours worth of music, so there's a lot of practice involved there. So we practice with a 5-piece group on Tuesday. Our trio is going to be practicing tomorrow, so there's a lot of new stuff to learn. So it's eating up a fair bit of time, but not nearly as much time as it should be eating up, because I'm a little behind the curve on picking some things up. It's going to be more and more of a focal point over the next couple of weeks as we really get closer. I think it's like the 23rd, 24th is when that gig is. So I have been, and I don't know, speak up if you can speak to this also. Instagram people, I'm looking at you there. Is anybody else's internet connection just absolutely sucking? I don't know if it's something that's just specific to our location, our neighborhood, or whatever, but I'm paying for a connection of a certain speed. I don't remember what it is exactly, but you know, I'm downloading client progress photos, and it's taken like 30 seconds to download a 1 megabyte file if I'm lucky. And it's tricky, because you know, we also don't have cable or satellite TV or anything. The only stuff that we watch here is streamed, so we're having tough periods. Like, you know, there are several shows I'm trying to watch right now, and I'm having a tough time doing it because I can't stream anything because the speed is so slow. So there is a phone call coming to Charter soon. I'm sure about that. Lifts for the week have been pretty good across the board. Nothing super crazy. You know, I did had some PRs on bench and deadlifts that I talked about last week. So nothing like that this week. Been kind of taking things a little bit slower, a little bit lighter, higher rep, shorter breaks, that kind of stuff. The occlusion training, I tried that yesterday for the first time. We'll talk more about that. That was an interesting experience as well. Let's see. Hulkstead on Instagram says, connection is good here right now, but it sucks at times. You know, the other thing is, on this live feed for Instagram, I cannot do it unless I disable my Wi-Fi. That's been the case for a few weeks now, and it feels like it's starting to creep in elsewhere. Like, we were having trouble. We couldn't stream a show on Hulu, and I'm having trouble streaming stuff on Amazon Prime. It almost feels like that net neutrality repeal that went through is already hitting me. So it sucks. That's not what I want. We had the Super Bowl, which I also streamed that through NBC Sports, and that there was an interesting thing that happened there, because periodically, like every 10 or 12 minutes, it would do that little spinning circle on the screen where it's buffering, and it wouldn't skip ahead. So I knew as the game was progressing, we were falling further and further behind the actual time. And so, you know, it's down in like the fourth quarter, the last couple minutes, and I think the Eagles had just scored, and my wife's on Facebook, and she says, is there a number 96 that plays on the Eagles that did something special? I'm like, well, not yet, but I know that that's a defensive player, and the Patriots are about to get the ball back, so there's about to be a turnover or something like that. And sure enough, there was, and he recovered it. So I thought that was kind of funny. A little spoiler alert there. It was a good game, though. I didn't have a rooting interest. You know, a lot of people wanted the Patriots to lose. I could have cared less. All I want in a circumstance like that is I would love for a competitive game that kind of comes down to the last play, and that's exactly what I got. So I walked away happy, regardless of who won. If Gronk would have caught that last pass, you know, I would have been every bit as happy as it getting knocked down like it did. So I've been going in weekly for deep tissue work. Man, I'm all over the place here. I have no coherent thought pattern going on here whatsoever. So if anybody gets whiplash from these changes in topic, my apologies. So deep tissue work, you know what? I strongly recommend this for people, especially if it's something that you haven't done in the past, just because I'm noticing like it's really real. I mean, first of all, it's really uncomfortable. I mean, painful at times, but more than that, I mean, even if it's not painful, it's uncomfortable. But you walk out of there and, you know, people walk out of getting a massage and like, oh, I feel so much better. I'm like, I just got beat up for an hour. I don't feel better at all. But I can really tell, like, there is a big, big improvement in blood flow everywhere. Like, whatever area gets hammered specifically, like, I don't really recognize there's a problem until I feel things improve after that. And then suddenly it's like, oh, my goodness, what a relief. So, like, yesterday I went in and said, I really need some help on my legs. And she's like, all right, first, but you're back. And so she worked on that for about 25 minutes, and she had some choice words. She's like, I think she said your back is messed up, which, you know, I didn't really think it was. And then she starts finding all these knots and kind of digging into them. And it feels, I mean, I can feel it today, but it feels so much better. Like everything just breathes a little bit more. So if it's something that you haven't done before, I strongly recommend it. I'm going weekly at this point, and at some point I will cut down that frequency. But for right now, I feel like that's what I need. So I wanted to clarify something from last week as well. So I talked last week about, I'm going to move Instagram people. I'm going to move you over here since I'm kind of looking in this direction all the time anyway. There we go. So last week, one of the topics that we covered was SARMs. And specifically, one of the points that came up about that was, you know, there's no side effects with SARMs. And I should clarify that. There are no androgenic side effects with SARMs, which are the bad ones that people want to avoid. But some of them do have certain things associated with them that are typically short term. Like while you are taking it, you may experience some of this. And like there's a pretty well documented one with S4 that is vision related. So like it can kind of tint what you see a certain color. So are they a big deal? Are they not? That's up for you to determine. None of them are permanent or really serious or anything like that. But, you know, people have different levels of what they want to tolerate and put up with, and that's fine. So what I always encourage people to do is, you know, I'm never going to tell anybody, and I do with clients or anybody who's asking for a recommendation, I'm never going to tell anybody, you should take this. I'm always going to say, this is something that you could consider. Now you need to look into it and do your research. But I'm never going to even recommend that somebody look into something that I don't feel comfortable with. So, like there are certain things that I just think are pretty much off limits, and I never encourage them, things like DNP and stuff like that. And if you don't know what that is, fine, you're in a good position. You don't need to know what it is. But with SARMs, I find that most of them, personally, I think, you know, most of the side effects that come from them, I think you have, there are more significant side effects that come from over-the-counter stuff that you can get realistically. So I'm talking about like, you know, just general medications or prescription medications. So I don't think they're terribly serious. They're also, it's important. They're not long-term. They're typically short-term, but do your research, make a decision for yourself. So we did introduce some recurring weekly segments last week, and we are going to do those again this week. So the first one of those is gym pet peeves. So last week I had a couple that were, you know, a little bit more like, come on, people, really, why are you doing this? This one is all about me and my insecurities. So one of the things the gym that I go to. It's Armor Gym here in Knoxville. Cool place. I have some issues with it. The music that they play sucks. Typically, there are some good days, but I usually have my headphones in, so it's not a huge deal. They advertise themselves as a bodybuilder's gym, but yet they have like a space where people are always doing CrossFit stuff, like cleans and snatches, etc. So I have to deal with people dropping barbells from overhead and clang, 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 and scaring the ever-loving hell out of me. Which is annoying, but again, I can learn to deal with that. But they have a bunch of TVs on the wall, not in the cardio area, but in the weight area. Which, I mean, first of all, I would just assume those TVs come off the wall. The last thing that people need in the gym, especially in the lifting area, is stuff to distract them. I've talked about that before. I won't rehash the entire topic again here. One of the TVs that they have set up, and it's like right by where like the cable stuff is towards the end of the benches, is always showing YouTube videos of like bodybuilder training stuff. So they have some that they cycle through. Like there's one that has a video of Nasser going through a training session. There's a Branch Warren one that they play pretty regularly. There's some old school stuff that they show with like Mike Christian back when in his competitive days and the people that he was up against. There's a Jay Cutler one. I've seen Kai Greene, Darum Charles as well. So, I mean, it's cool. I mean, I like that they're doing that, but there is nothing that is going to ruin your workout more for a guy like me than to be like, you know, going through a workout and then you kind of catch a glimpse of yourself in the mirror. I'm like, hey, that's not too bad. And then you look up at the TV and you're like, oh, well, screw me. I quit. You know what? I mean, it's a little deflating. Like, hey, I'm not looking too bad. And then you go look up and there's Darum Charles looking like an absolute cartoon character. Like, and I'm done. Never mind. I'm just going to put my layers back on. I'm going to walk out of here. So not so much a pet peeve as like, hey, guess what? I have some real insecurities here. So anyway, that is the quote unquote pet peeve for the week. And it's all about me. So the first legit topic that I wanted to cover here. So occlusion training or blood flow restriction training or BFR, as we may call it as well. So this is something I've known about this for years. And I've always been like, you know what? That looks stupid. That looks gimmicky. And I'm not really into it. And I've always only ever seen it pushed by somebody who has an interest in selling stuff associated with it, like selling the bands specifically. So these are the things where, you know, you have the bands that you wrap, and they're typically about 1-inch bands with some kind of a catch on it that you wrap around the upper part of your arm, or there are some that you can get for your legs that are typically about 2 inches that go around the upper part of your leg close to your hip. And the idea being, you cinch it up there relatively tight, and it, when done correctly, it allows blood into the muscle, but doesn't allow blood out of the muscle. So it's promoting venous flow, but it's restricting arterial flow. So blood kind of pools in the muscle. So that's the idea. So and you know, I always be like, yeah, I never have an issue getting a pump, so I don't need that. And plus, it looks stupid. And it's one of those things where, and this is true. So if you have an opinion on whether or not it's stupid or whatever, but the one thing that is a fact is it is going to have people coming up and talking to you in the gym, asking you about it. And for me, that was pretty much all the deal breaker I needed to be like, I don't want to do that. So forget it. I'm going to leave that crap at home. So anyway, I broke down and tried it just because I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm putting in all this effort and it's time that I get out of my own head and say, if there's something I can do that's going to be helpful, then why don't I do it? Or at least give it a shot so that I can talk about it and give people an honest opinion on it. So I have no vested interest in any way with any company that manufactures and sells this stuff. So what you're getting is totally unbiased, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So my experience with it, and granted, again, this is one workout in, so I've still got a lot of experimentation to do, a lot of tweaking of variables to do, and how to figure things out. But the main tenets behind it are, what you want to focus on is focus on the concentric. So we talked last week about muscle soreness and how it's really more associated with the eccentric portion of an exercise. This is, you know, blood flow is really more associated with the concentric version. So or the concentric phase of an exercise. So what that means is higher reps, lower weight typically, just because you are, you know, you are restricting blood flow in. So the more reps you can do, the better off you're going to be, which typically means you're going to do it with a little bit lower weight. You don't need a tremendous load in order to do it. Oftentimes, especially with leg stuff, if you're doing like lunges or things like that, just body weight is sufficient. You don't need to pile on the weight. And in fact, doing so can really kind of pull you out of the zone where the concentric phase becomes a little less useful. So you want to be able to lift something with a steady and controlled concentric movement and not, you know, just blast it up and use a lot of momentum and force out negatives. That's the opposite of what you want to be doing with occlusion training. So also, you don't want to use too much pressure on these things. Like the general consensus, the common way of thinking on this is, okay, so this is something, and it is, you know, if done correctly, it is uncomfortable. It is painful because basically, you know, that burning sensation that you get with the, you know, everybody associates it with lactic acid, but it's really the dissipation of hydrogen ions that are associated with the departure of lactic acid. But that burning sensation, it kind of just, you know, it sticks around and, you know, instead of dropping the weights down, you kind of shake things out and everything starts to feel a little bit better. It doesn't so much when you do this. So it is uncomfortable for sure. And by uncomfortable, I mean painful, but not in necessarily a bad way. It's just one of those things that does really kind of test your pain tolerance in a way. But it's not like, oh my God, my bone is breaking or anything like that. It's like, this is really uncomfortable. So the tendency then, you know, the people that are kind of drawn to that, ooh, all right, there's some suffering involved, that must mean it's better, then they want to suffer more because then that makes it more productive, right? Not so with this. So you need to have enough restriction on there so that you know, blood can go into the muscle, but it can't go out. If you put it on too tight, you're going to have a tough time getting blood flow into the muscle as well. Typically, you want it, you know, if it's on like a 1 to 10 scale, like, you know, 1 is not on at all and 10 is, oh my God, this hurts immediately. For arms, you want it around like somewhere between a 4 and a 6, not super, super tight. And for legs, usually just a little bit tighter than that, like maybe a 6 or a 7 out of 10. So you still need to be able to move. You need to be able to adjust it throughout your workout. So the ones that I got, they have metal clips on them. Some have plastic clips. These are things that just kind of catch the fabric so that it holds it in place. The ones that I got, also, they're from Lifting Lab. I just bought them on Amazon. They were $30. I only got the arm versions for now. I just wanted to experiment with those to start with. They were really uncomfortable. And I don't just mean like the sensation of like, oh my God, this is really painful as I'm working out, but they just did not sit comfortably on my arm. And, you know, one of the things that I posted about this on Instagram yesterday is I do have really sensitive skin and it gets irritated really easily. And that's one of the things that I'm concerned about with this is just like, is this going to cause, you know, a rash or, you know, cause my skin to break out or something like that? So I think what I will try next time is actually wear some sleeves rather than a tank and throw it over the sleeves and see if that makes any kind of difference at all. Hey, everybody, on Instagram, my mom just joined. Stargazer 8. Hi, Mom. Thanks for joining. Thanks for watching. So I think I want to experiment with that. Try it over a sleeve just so that there's a little bit of fabric between the cuff and my skin just to see if I can get a little bit of relief from that. You're going to be adjusting the position and adjusting the tension on the band throughout your workout. So having a strap that is easily adjustable is useful. Some of them also come with markings on them, like 1 through 10 markings, just so that you can say, oh yeah, last time I had this up on like a 5 and it felt just about right. Then you know that, okay, I can easily get it back to that level of tension. The ones that I got did not have that, and if I was going to buy new ones, I would make sure that they did, just because I can tell it's going to be a real pain in the butt to try and equalize the pressure each time and make sure that both sides are equal to one another as well. So another thing yesterday that I played around with was I did it on calves also, because, you know, why not? And that was a little bit more of an immediate, like, okay, I can feel this working at this point. I can feel what it's doing. Not that there was such a tremendous change with the pump that I got or anything like that, but as soon as I cinched that up and I did it right below the knee, so right at the top of the calf, it was immediate, like, the first rep I did on a donkey calf raise, I felt that contraction, and I have a really good mind muscle connection with calves anyway. It was a whole nother level right on that first rep. So, and so I banged out four sets there, and then I did four sets on the standing calf raise, and I was done and didn't go particularly heavy, kept it, you know, fairly moderate. I didn't really play around with the rep range too much. I stayed in like a pretty comfortable, like 10 to 15 range. So I'd play around with that a little bit more next time. I thought about doing this today, but I was kind of running late. So, and I can train calves pretty much every day of the week, and that's fine. So I will often train them like four, maybe five times a week. So, next time I do it, which maybe tomorrow, I'm going to try right around the same spot. Could probably handle just a little bit more pressure there, but probably drop the weight a little bit, do more reps, and do slower reps, like really slow concentric pushes, a little bit of a squeeze, and then kind of let down on the negative and really see what I can do as far as hammering some blood in there. The other variables I'd play around with, so the other thing to keep in mind is this only works for extremities. So it's just legs and arms. You can't restrict blood flow to your chest or your back or your shoulders, at least not a way that I've discovered yet. So I'll keep you posted if I have any breakthroughs on that. So it's only going to be for a couple days. I will experiment. I'll probably get a set of these for legs also and experiment with that. I'm just wondering if it may be more appropriate to use them just for a portion of the workout. I used them for the entire arm workout yesterday. It was pretty good. I mean, I never really have an issue with arms. And one thing that it did really encourage me to do, this is kind of an unintended side effect, is I really plowed through that workout at warp speed because they were really uncomfortable to wear and I wanted to get that workout over with quickly. So my rest periods were short. I was supersetting everything and even then my rest periods were like 40 seconds tops. So I made it pretty quick and then I was relieved to be able to take them off. Another thing worth noting is also I didn't wear them for as long around the legs for calves, but I didn't experience that same level of discomfort. It's just like under the arm here, you know, you've got, you know, a bunch of skin, like, you know, where the shoulder comes in, you've got the armpit and then the pec inserts right in there as well. There's just a lot of stuff happening right around that joint. So then you throw an elastic band around there with a big metal clip, and stuff can get in the way. You know, you're going to have a big tail of extra fabric of the band that's hanging loose. So that can rub things the wrong way. You know, trial and error. The main take-home point that I would offer on that is there is a lot of science behind this showing how valid it is and that it does work. It is going to make things uncomfortable, even if you don't have the issues that I do where it's like irritating to the skin. It's still going to be uncomfortable, which is kind of the idea behind it, but it shouldn't be unbearable. If it is, you need to go with a little bit less pressure. But the science behind it is overwhelming and it's conclusive. Like, yes, this does work. This does increase blood flow to the muscle. This does increase your potential for growth. So don't dismiss it out of hand. I had somebody ask me a question yesterday, like, well, if there's so much science behind it, then why don't more people do it? I don't know. I can only speculate. It's for a lot of the reasons that I put off trying it for so long is that, you know, it does look stupid. It seems like something that's kind of attention getting. And I swear I put those bands on. I hadn't even done a set yet. And a guy's like, hey, what do you think about those? What are you doing there? I'm like, and immediately I'm going to take them off right now because I don't want more of these conversations. So, but the science is overwhelming. So I think it's just, you know, there's a natural restriction or natural tendency to avoid a lot of things like that. So if something is attention getting or it looks gimmicky, you know, another thing there would be a like the training mask, if you've seen those. So why don't you see everybody wearing training masks? Well, you know, they look stupid. And also, they have been, it is very much the opposite. There is plenty of science backing up the fact that those actually don't work or do anything. So, I don't know. Why don't more people do it? I think there's just resistance to it because it does seem kind of gimmicky and it does look kind of silly, but the science is pretty overwhelming that it is legit. So, stay tuned for more from me on that. If you just check me out on Instagram and follow along, I'll be posting more about it as I give it a shot and get a little bit deeper into the weeds on that. I just wanted to introduce it here and talk about it just because it's a subject worth discussing at least. So look into it. You know, the topics to search for there would be occlusion training, BFR training, blood flow restriction training. Check it out. Okay, so Moving on, we did introduce another regular segment last week, and this one is a little off topic, but nonetheless, you know, I do a lot of music stuff, so I like to talk about it as well. So the music of the week, this one, you know, last week I was talking about Muse a little bit. This week is going to be a little bit more what I would say is typical for my taste and what I'd be listening to in the gym, and it's not going to catch anybody by surprise, like, wow, I've never heard of that band. It's Metallica, and specifically the album that I want to talk about is Death Magnetic, which was from, I should have looked this up, I don't know, 2010, maybe, something like that, a little bit more recent. So if you listened to Metallica in their heyday and then kind of checked out by the time they put out Load, Reload, Saint Anger, which was really a big hit-or-miss jumble of some very questionable stuff, and then kind of checked out and moved on, and haven't heard Death Magnetic or the one that they put out more recently, which was, somebody might chime in here and say what it is, I can't remember the name of, it'll come back to me, but the one that they put out after that, which I actually think is probably superior overall, but I think Death Magnetic is just so listenable start to finish. It is a, I mean, you just throw that sucker on and then get going with your workout and boom, it's game. You don't need to touch anything else. Every song is going to take you there where you need to go. So a couple of highlights. I mean, Broken, Beaten, Scarred is a great song. Suicide and Redemption is a great song. My Apocalypse is a great, I mean, there's just so many things. The single that was released from that album, and I'm drawing a blank on the Day That Never Comes. I mean, it's decent, but there's other tracks on there that are worth listening to. So if you are a fan of old school Metallica, this sounds like a newer take on old school Metallica. So I would strongly recommend it. If Metallica ain't your thing, this probably won't be either, but it is good stuff start to finish. So that's my recommendation for the week. Check it out if you haven't. So the next major topic that I want to discuss here, and this, as I warned about in the beginning, this one is going to be kind of more of an extended rant. So this is for the competitive world out there. So, you know, if you have a competitive background, you probably know what I'm talking about. If you haven't competed before, you know, you still might find it interesting, especially if it's something that you're considering doing. So it's specifically in the NPC, and it's a phenomenon that I refer to as judging creep. And so, as I said in the beginning, the judging creep is not the dude with the pedophile mustache who's sitting on the judging table. He can be a judging creep, but what I'm talking about here is how standards creep over time. So I'm borrowing the terminology from the software industry, where, you know, a piece of software will have, you know, as they release newer and newer versions, they call it feature creep, where, you know, they keep adding more and more stuff and the software becomes huge and bloated and it runs a lot slower, it's less efficient, it's more problematic, etc. So judging creep is where the standards, rather unintentionally, I would say, evolve over time, and what you see winning shows has no bearing at all on what the written guidelines are. So you can take, for example, men's physique division. So we'll start here. So with men's physique, you know, this was debuted at the Olympia as like an exhibition many years back, maybe 10 years at this point. And when they debuted it, you know, you got a really good idea of what they were looking for, because they just put some guys on stage. And again, this was just as an exhibition, not as a judged event. And the one thing that I remember about that is everyone showed up on stage wearing tennis shoes and board shorts. So that was the original vision for men's physique. And eventually they went barefoot, which was probably a good idea. I mean, we can have a discussion as far as whether men's physique is really something that should exist in the bodybuilding world or not, but it's here to stay. So you look at the physiques that that showed up in that exhibition and what started winning shows and then what's progressed to now, and the guys now are so much bigger than they were before. So then the NPC and the IFBB, because they kind of work as a joint body, they said, okay, hold on, wait, this is a problem. The physique guys are getting too big. So we're going to scale that back down. We're going to introduce classic physique as kind of an in-between for men's physique and bodybuilding. So those guys that are getting, you know, bigger than we would like for men's physique, they can compete in classic physique, and we'll kind of scale down MPD a little bit. And Has that worked? No. Basically, what you're seeing now is, you know, in men's physique and classic physique, you could, you know, whether you stick classic physique trunks on a guy or board shorts on a guy, you've got a lot of guys that you can't really tell which division they should be in. All they've done really is muddy the waters. And we'll talk about this more later. They made shows longer because now there's another division that has to be judged for prejudging and for finals. And it's a division with an individual 90-second posing routine. So everybody in there is going to be, you know, having their own routine. So it makes the show that much longer. So let's talk briefly about judging standards for these two. So we're starting with the men here. So we'll get to you shortly here. for classic physique, I think this is interesting here. So I went to NPC News Online, looked up rules, classic physique, and because I want to know, like, what are the judging standards specifically? So let's look at this. So here is, and I'm about to quote from NPCNewsOnline.com. This is the entirety of the written judging standard for classic physique. It says, quote, "The judging is scored 100% and will consist of comparisons of the quarter turns and the following five mandatory poses." And then they list the mandatory poses. It says the judging is scored 100%. I have no idea what that means. That doesn't really make sense in English. But that is it. They don't tell you what they are scoring. They don't tell you what the criteria are. They don't tell you what they're looking for or anything like that. It is, I'm going to call you out on this, NPC. It is embarrassing that that is your judging criteria, that it is so completely vague, so completely devoid of detail. That's totally unacceptable. You've got people that are investing a ton of time, effort, money, blood, sweat, and tears to get ready for this show, and you're not giving them any guidance here on what they should be focusing on. It is ridiculous. It pisses me off. It really does. Now, for men's physique, so they've you know, they flesh things out in a little bit more detail for men's physique. Here are some points. I mean, first of all, the page is just longer. And also, if you go to NPC News Online, click on Classic Physique, the first thing on the page is a video where there's three people sitting at the table. I can't remember who they are, but it's like, you know, the big wigs at the NPC and then somebody interviewing them, where they're all sitting around a table saying, yeah, this is the division we're bringing in. And it's almost like they're making up the concept of it right there on the spot. And I remember that was up there like the very day Classic Physique was announced, and it's still up there a couple years later. So it was really, I think somebody was just in the shower one day and like, hey, we should do this. And then like that next day they had the division and it existed. So there clearly wasn't a lot of thought put into it. There's been no follow-up as far as trying to define what it really should look like, other than, well, it's bodybuilding, but without lat spreads and with trunks that cover a little bit more of the leg. What the hell is that? And what are the judging criteria, please? So anyway, for men's physique, it's a little bit more fleshed out as far as the rules are concerned. So I just picked out a few things that I wanted to cover here that are directly from the guidelines on the NPC website. And it says, quote, "Competitors will walk to the center of the stage alone and perform front and back turns with optional pose of hand on hip or hand in pocket, finishing facing the judges as directed, then proceed to the side of the stage." So, and has anybody ever seen anybody pull off the hand in pocket pose in men's physique? I don't think I've seen that. Now I kind of want to compete just so I can do that. Hand in pocket, really? Really? You want somebody smoking a cigarette up on stage too? I mean, come on. Don't forget, NPC, IFBB, this is supposed to be a bodybuilding show. You know, this is not an Abercrombie and Fitch runway walk. So, you know, anyway, so moving on, judges will be looking for fit contestants who display proper shape and symmetry combined with muscularity and overall condition. This is not a bodybuilding contest, so extreme muscularity should be marked down. Now, what is extreme muscularity? I don't know. I mean, at least with classic physique, they impose some weight limits to go with the height classes, so you've got some guidelines there, but you don't have that for men's physique. So if you get a guy who's, you know, 6 foot and up on stage at 210 pounds, well, you know, I mean, is that excessive? I don't know. It's hard to say. And fit contestants who display, quote unquote, proper shape and symmetry. What does that mean? You know, what are you looking for? a little bit more guidance here. I mean, this whole topic basically comes down to be less vague, people. This is not acceptable. I don't think, I mean, clearly they do, but the rules are not written with any notion of understanding of how hard people work to get ready for these shows. They're doing everybody who pays and, you know, puts the promoters in business and keeps the NPC running by paying their entry fees, by paying their NPC card fees, by paying their crossover fees, by keeping an entire industry alive of coaches, suit designers, spray tan specialists. I mean, give people more guidance. That's all I'm looking for here. Proper shape, proper symmetry. I realize that these are the buzzwords that have been involved in bodybuilding for decades. It's no longer enough. Because that was okay when there was one division, when it was just bodybuilding, men and women. But right now, there are so many different options for people who want to compete. We really need more direction. And we need rules written that are then adhered to and stuck by the judging panels. And rather than saying, as I heard Sandy Williamson once say, who's a head judge for the IFBB, she once said, well, you know, we judge everybody based on the lineup that's on stage. I'm like, okay, so what you're just saying is that the judging standards they float, they evolve from one show to the next. So, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, somebody who is, you know, excessively muscular at this show is not at this show because there are more people in line with how they look. I mean, come on. I mean, excessive is excessive if you properly define that term. And if you don't, then it's just a complete crapshoot and nobody has any idea what the target is. And be like, well, I hope I'll do well at this show, but I don't know who else is showing up, so I might be too big. I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. Give people a little bit of certainty. Continuing on with the men's physique quote here. Judges are looking for the contestant with the best stage presence and poise who can successfully convey his personality to the audience. I don't even know where to start with that. I don't. I mean, judges are looking for the contestants with the best stage presence and poise. Really? Because I don't think, I mean, where does that relay into, you know, displaying proper shape and symmetry combined with muscularity and overall condition? What's the percentage breakdown? How important is one versus the other? Because if you look at some of the other guidelines, and I'm thinking like natural organizations, I can't think of one off the top of my head. I should have checked this before I started here. But some of them will say like, okay, you know, symmetry counts for, you know, 20%. Overall size counts for 30%. Your presentation counts for 10%. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff. That would be helpful. I mean, I realize that's going to involve math when it comes to judging and scoring. But God forbid, do some freaking math. It's not the end of the world. If that's what it takes to get a more quality result out of these shows, do it. Do it. Come on. So let's talk about the women really quick here. So really what I want to focus on is women's physique, especially just because I see some real problems developing here. The history of this is, you know, it used to just be women's bodybuilding, and then they threw in figure back when, you know, there was a one-piece round and a two-piece round, if you remember those days. If you remember those days, you've been around a long time. And then they added, fitness was in there as well. Then they added the bikini division, which a lot of people saw as like, oh, dear God, what's happening to this? What's happening to bodybuilding right now? And it's, you know, it's here to stay, and you know, you can have opinions on whether it's good for the sport or not. It does make competing a viable option for a lot more people. So it does the industry well. It makes shows bigger. It makes a larger number of shows more viable as well. So I consider it overall a good thing. I have some issues with how the division is judged and how the presentation, with the kind of a presentation that's encouraged as well. But you know, it is what it is. So women's bodybuilding was still around, and then the judges were like, hey, you know what? I mean, it's impossible to be competitive in women's bodybuilding at a high level without excessive drug use, so we need to scale that down. And they tried a little bit. You know, they instituted some rules where I can't remember what the percentage was, but they wanted to see like a 25% reduction in muscularity. So I don't know how that was ever going to be enforced, but that didn't work at all. And then some number of years passed, and eventually they're like, you know, we just need a new division here, so we're going to introduce women's physique. And they borrowed the concept of this from the Europeans. So, you know, the posing is very European style. It's barefoot, et cetera, rather than the heels that you see in figure and bikini. And the idea being that this should be a look that is more attainable naturally and something that is, you know, more realistic for people to achieve. And so what has happened, of course, is that, you know, we start there and then the hardcore element of bodybuilding kicks in and everybody wants to be bigger, harder, tighter, leaner, drier, more shredded, etc. And it becomes this, you know, snowballing effect once again. So the world of bodybuilding needs to make a decision about what they want to do with women who compete. Should they all be, you know, bikini and figure and that's it? Or do you want to have women compete who have more size and just carry more size and want to carry more size? And if so, create a division for them and then draw up a set of rules that are appropriate for that division. So here is what it says. This is from the Women's Physique Judging Criteria. Again, this is from NPC News Online. So physique assessment and comparison will take place during prejudging. Women's physique division has been created to give a platform for women who enjoy weight training, competing, contest preparation. So first of all, this is already sounding like it was written in 1980. Quote, competitors should display a toned athletic physique, showcasing femininity, muscle tone, beauty slash flow of physique. Okay, again, very vague. You know, what is femininity? They're using the word toned, which everybody in the bodybuilding world knows. You never use the word toned. Athletic physique. What do these things mean? I don't know, but there's more. The following are examples of common terms used in the bodybuilding industry. These words can be helpful to assess what should not be descriptive to the physiques being judged in women's physique. And they are, quote, ripped, shredded, peeled, striated, dry, diced, hard, vascular, grainy, massive, thick, dense, etc. So that is not all of it. So go online and look at photo galleries from any national or pro level contest and find somebody who placed in the top 10 that you couldn't apply nearly every one of those adjectives to. This is the problem. The problem is that they've actually set a relatively clear standard here. I still think it's overall too vague, but they've actually itemized words. They're like, these are the things that we want to avoid, and yet these are also the things that we are going to reward in judging. Huge, huge disconnect, and it's a big, big problem. Because you know, one thing that is worth noting here is the New York Pro this year doesn't have women's physique. They have everything else, but they don't have women's physique. Why? I don't know. I heard some speculation, but I don't know for sure. So if this division is already starting to, and you know, if you look at, you know, who's been winning these shows, who's earning their pro cards, they are really rewarding people that are taking it to the next level, and that's a problem because I mean we've been down this road recently within the last 5 years. Is there a short-term memory problem at the NPC and IFBB? What's going on? Why are you not enforcing the judging standards? Even if, you know, the local and regional shows are sending women to the national shows that are not, you know, not in line with your judging standards, at the national level shows, you've got a panel of judges in there that should be, you know, kind of the gut check and be like, hey, hold the phone. Nope, nope, nope. You know, we got a lot of women here that are, you know, much bigger than we intended to be rewarding with the judging standards that we wrote. They're not going to be winning these shows. And suddenly everybody gets the message and like, oh, okay, I guess we should tone things down a little bit. And then all the women are like, I've been working hard to put on this size. Now you want me to lose it. But that is better than the sport losing all of its integrity and credibility and creating judging controversies by having judging standards that are simply not applied in any way. There's more. It says, while all types of physiques will be considered when it comes to height, weight, structure, etc., excessive muscularity should be scored down accordingly. We've heard that before. That was with men's physique. That's been kind of the mantra and the marching beat of the NPC and the IFBB when it comes to women for decades. You know, they're like, no, smaller, smaller, smaller. But yet when it comes to the results, they're always rewarding bigger, bigger, bigger. So And it closes out and says, women's physique competitors should have the overall aesthetics and look that is found in figure with a little more overall muscularity. So, and again, there's a lot of crossover potential between these two. Like, you can find a lot of women in figure that look like they would be perfectly in place in a women's physique lineup, and vice versa as well. So much like with men's physique and classic physique, there's a really blurred line between the two. The posing is very different, but as far as the aesthetics that get rewarded, not a lot of difference. You know, it might be, you know, the difference of like 4 or 5 weeks worth of dieting in a lot of cases, and that's about it. So one particular note, and this is not to call out anybody in particular, but there's been this photo this week that's been going around of Shanique Grant, who's a women's physique competitor, looking just stupid crazy. And everybody's like, whoa, check this out. Ridiculous proportions. And I look at that, I'm like, yeah, ridiculous proportions. But it brings to mind, first of all, she is every one of those adjectives that the judging standards say she should not be. And she has won shows before, many pro shows. So she's clearly done well. The point is, especially when it comes to thinking about how these judging standards are applied, just because somebody has a physique that looks cool doesn't mean they should win a show. If we are going to apply these standards that are written and have been written since the division was created and posted on the website for the NPC, you know, you got to follow those. And if you've got somebody with a crazy physique that is the absolute antithesis of everything you're looking for, and you have them win shows, what are people supposed to think? That's it. That's it. Okay. So anyway, it was kind of an extended rant, but there you go. So moral of the story, judging standards are screwed. Competitors are confused, and the NPC and the IFBB have the ability to fix this. They have had the ability to fix it for a long time, and they don't. They're basically refusing to, and their answer has historically been, well, we're just going to add a new division. Okay, well, how long does a show have to be? You know, how many shows have to have their finals run until 1 or 2 in the morning before we realize, you know what, we've got too many divisions here. So if you're going to do that, If you're going to not fix the problem but just keep putting a Band-Aid on it by attaching new divisions, at the very least, guys, what you need to do is eliminate the posing routines. And I've said this before, but I can count on 0 fingers the number of amateur competitors whose posing routine was actually worth watching. I mean, most of these routines are just made up on the spot. Be like, you know, people put more time and effort into selecting their music than they do putting together a posing routine that's actually worth watching. So, and you know, maybe it's one good thing to do would be you can still have your individual posing routine, but it's to house music. It's 15 seconds and everybody's just coming out one after the other. So here's a guy, he's got 15 seconds. Great. Off to the wings. Next one come up, and then you do the lineup. And then, so that would be a much better solution. I do not need to see 11 middleweight bodybuilders all pose for 90 seconds to music of their own choice. I don't need to see it. I don't think anybody else needs to see it. Hell, if I was in there and my family was there at the show and all my friends, they wouldn't need to see it either. You know, 15 seconds, that's fine. Great. And I'm done. Thank you. Peace out. So anyway, that's it for that topic. The other regular feature, we have two more little regular features here that we introduced last week. One of them was random news of the week. This one I thought was kind of fun. So there was SpaceX, which is the the space/rocket company founded by Elon Musk of Tesla fame. They had a rocket launch on Tuesday, and I thought it was cool. So they actually put a Tesla car on the rocket, and it's going to be in a solar orbit. And they put it's a convertible, and they have a mannequin in it as well. So we'll have all these cool shots of a car floating around space that looks like it has somebody driving it. So it's kind of cool, kind of a cool little publicity stunt. But I thought it was fascinating. There was a big response from the flat Earth community on this because, you know, we got to see footage of, you know, this car with a mannequin on it, you know, and you can see, you know, the Earth behind it. You can see the curvature of the Earth during the takeoff as well, and these flat Earth people. So if you're not aware that this is a thing, yeah, there is a whole cadre of people out there who claim that the Earth really is flat, like it is still 600 AD or whatever. So I'm always supportive of alternative beliefs. Well, not always. This will prove that. I'm often supportive. I'm very tolerant of people who think different things than I am. But if you are a member of this flat earth thinking, you're just dumb. That's all there is to it. You just have no ability to assume. You're looking for a fight, and you've decided to argue a case that just doesn't exist. It's not there. So give it up. So the responses from them on these photos was just like, oh, well, this is so easily faked, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's clearly a fake because X, Y, Z. You're just a special kind of dumb, and that's all there is to it. Anyway, I thought that was interesting for our random news of the week. And then our last thing here for this week is I just wanted to give a closing thought. This is going to echo an Instagram post that I made earlier in the week, which is some words of wisdom for you. Six words that I think will help kind of reset everybody's perspective. And those six words are: worry about your own damn self and stop playing the comparison game on social media. I fall victim to this as well, frequently, all the time. But I'm aware of it. And I'm trying to fall victim to this a little bit less. It's challenging just because somebody will throw out some content, and, you know, especially in bodybuilding, you know, it's all about comparisons. You know, eventually, you know, it's competitive. You might find yourself up on stage with somebody else. You start asking these questions like, well, why are they doing X, Y, and Z? And I'm not. Why are they having all this success? And I'm not. Why do they look that way? And I'm not. And the thing is, everybody is their own unique individual person, your history, your genetics, and to be clear, the things that you have control over as well, your work ethic, your consistency, your intensity, all of those things go into explaining why you are in the position you're in and why you are not in the position that somebody else is in. And the trick there is that you can never really get a full picture on why somebody else is successful to the extent that they are. You know, they can tell you, they probably can't, I mean, they can tell you what they think, but they probably can't even tell you the whole picture. Are they really genetically gifted? Well, they may say so, but they may say they're not, but they might be. I mean, we talked about genetics a few weeks ago, so that's certainly something to concern yourself with. You know, somebody's history, what they've been through. So the main point is, focus on yourself. You know, a lot of people say in the competitive world, it's me versus me. I'm just trying to beat who I was last year. And I have had a lot of experience with people who say that, but don't really mean it or don't really think it, or they're lying to themselves when they say that. So if that's you, recognize it. Put the focus back on yourself a little bit. Control what you can control. Worry about what you can worry about, and just focus on influencing the things that you actually have the ability to influence. So that's it. That's all I got for episode 41. So I thank everybody who listened here, whether you're live on Instagram or whether you're listening to the recorded version of this. And if those people on Instagram now, if you want to get the recorded version of this, it's available on iTunes. It's available on Google Play. You can also go to my website, 5starphysique.com, and you can click on podcast and all of the episodes are there. But if you go to iTunes, you can just subscribe there, have them automatically delivered, or whatever podcast app you use. If it's something else, you can just search for the drop set and it will show up there and you'll be able to subscribe as well. So thanks again, everybody, for listening and joining. I appreciate it. If anybody has any questions, topics of conversation that they like to discuss, ideas for future guests, etc., fire away. So once again, my name is Darren Starr. Thanks for joining me. Website's 5starphysique.com. You can find me on Instagram at Darren_Starr, Facebook.com/5starphysique. You can search 5-Star Physique on Pinterest or YouTube as well, Twitter at Darren Starr. Whew. All right. Peace out. Thanks, y'all. Have a great week.